he told the agents that he had lived in the basement for a time, and then that after he left the basement, Cody and Kunu lived there. But after he did, but that was prior to Mr. Matt moving in. And finally, in preliminary hearing, volume 1, page 43, lines 5 through 9. Asked the basement of the apartment, have you ever been down to the basement before? Answer, yeah, when Kunu and Po Di lived there, yes, I went there once in a while. But after Isar Matt went, moved in, I never went there. So, and I recognize that it's troubling that that two of the roommates kept their bicycles in the basement. But there's been no testimony at the preliminary hearing, nothing to indicate in any of the evidence that we have that any of the other roommates had access to the bathroom in the basement after the time that Mr. Matt moved in. And so I would urge that Mom did not have mutual use of the basement area, particularly did not have use of the bathroom of the basement area. So he didn't have the authority to consent to the FBI agent's search. Now, the state also puts great emphasis on the claim that Agent Olson didn't know that a fifth roommate, Mr. Matt, was living in the basement until after the search of the basement. But despite what Mr. Olson claimed at the preliminary hearing, and I don't deny what the state shows that he says at the preliminary hearing, their own report casts doubt on the credibility of that claim. And I'd like to refer the court to page or page 15 of the report. I'm referring to the last two paragraphs, and I think the language is very important here because it places this whole incident in the context of timing, when what happened. It starts out, Mo Mai advised that there was a fifth resident of the residents who was not present, describing him as a Muslim from the same country. At first, Mo Mai stated that he did not know the fifth individual's name. When asked again, Nick Key said that the fifth individual's name was Asermet, and I believe that's a phonetic description, Isarmet. And I don't think there's any dispute about that. Asermet was an 18-year-old male who had been living with them for 1 month. Let me skip a couple of lines there, and then the last line in that paragraph, they advised that Asermet had relatives living in an apartment across from Karakare's residence. Next paragraph. Nick Key left the residence saying he was going to obtain Asermet's cousin's telephone number. Nick Key returned with a slip of paper containing the telephone number. Shortly thereafter, Po Ju entered the residence and sat on the couch. Nick Key then called, and Your Honor, the agents are being very careful to describe this in a chronological manner. Nick Key then called the telephone number on the slip of paper from the telephone located in the living room. Nick Key spoke with an unidentified individual for a short period of time and then hung up the phone. Around this time, Special Agent Olson, Special Agent Le Madrid, departed the living room to search the kitchen and the basement. That puts the lie to Mr. Olson's statement at the preliminary hearing that he didn't know anything about a fifth roommate before they searched the basement. And that's their own search report. So, Your Honor, I would submit that impeaches Agent Olson's testimony. The state didn't address the other issues in our memorandum, but apparently just relying on these two claims. But I would submit that for purposes of the basement bathroom, there was no authority of any of the other roommates to go to the basement bathroom nor to give permission for that to be searched, and that there was no apparent authority because the agents clearly knew about Isar Matt being the only one in the bathroom before they conducted that search. The subsequent warrant doesn't cure this. The Fourth Amendment, the motions to suppress under the Fourth Amendment really have, it seems to be the only means by which the courts have used to punish police misconduct. And in this case, the misconduct was simply that those officers should have gotten a warrant before searching that basement.
Let me ask you about that. Under the exigent circumstances doctrine, which I agree the state did not address, but tell me what you would... You're a police officer, you're searching for a missing child. You're not searching for a child. There's a child in this apartment complex. They go downstairs to see blood. Isn't that exigent to follow? Doesn't that constitute exigent circumstances to follow up and try to find this child who's missing? I mean, you don't address that. You talk about exigencies that are not related to this sort of an incident. But what would be more exigent than trying to find a child who may have been injured, having not been able to find an injured child who wants to see to get a warrant? I think that the exigent circumstances doctrine would apply right on target to this.
Well, there's two steps.